Hello and welcome to Texas Cannabis Report, your eyes and ears for cannabis news from across the Lone Star State. Today is Sunday, August 31st, and this is the seventh episode of the show. Today we're featuring a lot of news out of Houston, including an activist who says she was profiled and arrested. We've got some pro-marijuana reform candidates from around Texas, including an interview with John Tunmire this week, who is running for Senate District 10. We've got a list of upcoming events for the month of September, some raids that went down recently. Our musical guest this week is by Gloat Entertainment, and we've got a whole lot of other stories going on. You can check us out on our website at texcann.com. That's TXCANN.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Instagram. You can also email us at texcann@gmail.com. We are now being streamed live on 420 Radio, much thanks to Russ Belleville. And you can also listen to our shows on iTunes and YouTube now. Now let's get right into the show today with Houston Normal's recent event. They had a panel discussion of speakers from a whole lot of groups. And the great thing was is that they ended up having it televised on public access television. The groups involved were Marijuana Policy Project, Houston Young Republicans, Harris County Young Democrats, and the Harris County Libertarian Party. Speakers included Jason Miller, who was the executive director of Houston Normal, Heather Fazio, the Texas political director for Marijuana Policy Project, Navid Sanjani, and I apologize if I butchered that name, president of Harris County Young Democrats, Zoe Russell, who is the assistant director for Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition and a member of the Houston Young Republicans, and there was also Elliot Sherman, who is the secretary for the Harris County Libertarian Party. That was all televised, and from what we understand, it was a great turnout, and this is, to our knowledge, the first time such an event has been televised in Texas. So this is a major first step towards introducing people to marijuana reform activism and taking it mainstream. And as you may or may not realize, in a lot of other states where we've seen a lot of progress, the key to getting that traction is taking it mainstream, getting on the regular news outlets, on TV, making it normal, per se, for people to interact with it, see that this is not what we thought it was. So this is definitely a step in the right direction. Some more news out of Houston. If you are active in the marijuana movement here in Texas, you likely know CJ Heineman, and she does a lot of activism with Houston Normal, and she lives in Katy, Texas, which is just outside of Houston. The other day, she was stopped and arrested, and she says that she believes that this was due to her activism. Whenever she left her house last Thursday, you know, she didn't expect to have any trouble. She's been doing this for 3 years now and has never been pulled over, never been harassed by any cops or anything like that. Now, keep in mind, this is not Houston PD, but Harris County Sheriff's Department. Just as she got down the road from her house, she was in her car and she had got into a turn-only lane. And as she approached a red light at the intersection, she came to a stop and then entered the intersection to make a turn, but had to stop again when another vehicle made a U-turn. and that caused her to stop on the crosswalk. She says that a deputy then pulled up behind her. She then made the right turn and traveled a short ways down the street before she got pulled over into an old HEB parking lot. The officer then walked up to her vehicle as other officers began to pull up to the scene. CJ says that the deputy told her that she was being pulled over for failure to use a turn signal and stopping on a crosswalk. And CJ did say that she didn't use a turn signal, but that she was in a turn-only lane. Well, you know, logic dictates that if you could only go one way, why should you have to use a turn signal? But that's really beside the point here. What he said next, though, was a little bit mind-blowing. You know, she's been working with Houston Normal for quite a while, so she's got bumper stickers on her car and pro-marijuana stickers and jury nullification, and she's got a Houston Normal door magnet. So, you know, she sticks out, you know. It shows that she's involved with the marijuana movement. Doesn't necessarily mean that she's got any bud in her car, though. So the deputy came up and ordered her out of the vehicle, claiming that he could strongly smell the odor of marijuana. And by this time, CJ says that several large male officers were circling her vehicle and that she didn't feel safe exiting. So she requested the presence of a female officer or a supervisor before agreeing to leave her car, and said that during this time, the deputy reached inside her vehicle and unlocked her door. She says she was afraid to get out of her car, and the officers were all bigger than her and were working to intimidate her. So they waited for a supervisor to show up. Whenever he finally got there, she agreed to exit her car, and as soon as she got out, they grabbed her arm, put it behind her back, and immediately arrested her and pulled her out of the car. And they charged her initially with resisting arrest. So how do you get charged with resisting arrest if there was no reason to arrest you in the first place? How can you resist an unlawful arrest? But, you know, moving on, they brought out a canine unit and, you know, had to walk around her vehicle. And, of course, the canine alerted and they taunted her and everything like that. And whenever they searched her car, they didn't find any marijuana. They found a chef's knife, which she had been recently using at a barbecue that she left in her car, and they found a little, you know, dug-out metal cigarette that, you know, someone else had had, and she had picked up off of a table and thrown it in her car, didn't think about it. So she ended up getting taken to jail, says that she was riding in the back of the cruiser, the cop was speeding down the interstate, going like 10 miles per hour over the speed limit, and she wasn't seatbelted in or anything like that. And whenever they finally got there, she ended up learning that she had been charged officially with interfering with an officer's duties. So she was subjected to a physical, full-body scan, biometric fingerprinting, and whatnot. And while she was waiting to be examined by a physician, she met three girls who were being attended to by a nurse, one who claimed to have been beaten by an officer, and CJ said that she saw bruises all over the girl and missing patches of hair. So she talked to her, and come to find out, long story short, she had gone back into a restaurant after an altercation between her two friends and someone else just to get their purses. She wasn't even originally involved, and somewhere during there, she got into a scuffle with the police, and they beat her pretty badly. So, all sorts of messed up stuff going on out there in Harris County, out there in Houston. But we've got some good news coming up later on about that as well. One final thing with CJ is that whenever she got arrested, you know, they take all of her stuff and they put it in holding. And then whenever you get out, which she got out on a personal recognizance bond, she didn't have to pay bond. She did have to pay fees to get her car out of impound. But any cash that you carry on you, whenever it goes into their safe, they keep the cash whenever you get out, and you don't get your cash back. Instead, you get a debit card from them, and there's fees to have that card and to use it. So essentially, they're taking your money, giving you a card, and then charging you a fee to use that card. So it's really, really theft if you think about it. And it was only $7.50, but it's the principle of the matter. So CJ has, you know, she's done a lot of great stuff for the marijuana movement, and she's, you know, she's unsure of what she's facing out there, and we hope things really work out for the best for her. We had another story come out of Central Texas out there near Georgetown, you might have heard of Jacob Lavoro, who was the teenager selling marijuana brownies out of his apartment earlier this year, and after a neighbor called to complain about the smell of marijuana, a cop showed up, and his lawyer says that they had illegal entry and searched without a warrant and whatnot, and they found the brownies and marijuana and whatnot, so he got arrested. Now, since it was an amount of marijuana in a form that is not actually bud, but it's a THC form, so Texas law provides for prosecutors to weigh not just the marijuana, but also the weight of the brownie mix, eggs, oil, everything else that's in there. So what was a few grams turned into a pound and a half, and I'm sure you could realize how quickly that could escalate the amount of years that could be added to your sentence. And he was facing anywhere from 20 to 99 years. And a grand jury recently refused to indict him on that charge, but he was still indicted on two other charges, one which could get him up to 20 years, and another that gets him facing up to 2 years in prison. So there's been a lot of protests and support going on. They created a Facebook page for him, had a petition that got several hundred thousand, actually 270,000 signatures on change.org. They had rallies at the courthouse, and there's been a concerted effort to bring this case to the public's attention to show just how absurd our laws are here in Texas. So, with all of these efforts, they've managed to get this one charge, completely dismissed. He's still facing these other charges, and they're hoping to get the other charges thrown out completely because of the illegal search and seizure. So there's a good chance that this could all go away, and we're all hoping for the best because no one deserves to be in jail for possession of a plant or concentrated forms of it. So we're hoping for the best for Jacob out there. We're going to go to a commercial break. Our sponsor is Texas Sports World Report.
Texas has its own world of sports. MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, and a slew of college and minor league sports as well. There's a lot going on in our Lone Star State. Get the latest news and analysis at Texas Sports World Report, where the focus is all about Texas players and teams. For our latest articles and our podcasts, go to TXSWReports.com.
All right, we're back. We are going to go to another segment now with some local politicians here around Texas. We've got a candidate out in Austin who's really making a huge splash and is could very well make history in his run for the Texas House of Representatives. We've got Kevin Ludlow out in Austin, and he's running a good campaign, has over 30 volunteers. He's been fundraising well, and he's got a diverse array of positions, which are well-suited for the district that he's running in. He's a 16-year resident of Austin, and he's got a mathematics degree from the University of Texas. He's a small business owner, community leader, published author, and he also operates a weekly radio podcast. And he also recently got a $10,000 donation from a political action committee. He's been showing a lot of promise out there. He would be the first Libertarian elected to a statewide office, and he's got a real shot at winning this. He's got three billboards that they put up. They've knocked on over 10,000 doors. They attend events all around the city. They've got regular campaign meetings, and they've had a heavy focus on social media engagement. So he's been doing quite well, and we talked to him and got his positions on the subject of cannabis. Some of his other issues include ending capital punishment, restraining government intrusions on people's privacy, encouraging whistleblowing on illegal government activity, supporting gay marriage, and upholding gun rights. As for his cannabis stances, As for hemp, he said, "I absolutely support the legalization of hemp. I do not support placing any unique taxes or restrictions on the growing or selling of hemp, hemp products, or hemp-related industries." Turning to marijuana penalty reductions and legalization, he said that he supports penalty reductions, however, he would prefer that there be full legalization for all adults. He also added, "While I do not believe that any restrictions or taxes should be placed upon the adult use of this plant, I would be willing to accept the recent Colorado legislation as a step in the right direction." He also responded strongly in support of medically consuming cannabis, saying it is an absolute travesty that any government would attempt to impose restrictions on a substance that is medically proven time and again to treat a myriad of problems without any significant side effects. Medical marijuana, at an absolute minimum, should be legalized in the state of Texas immediately. Now, we asked him about an affirmative defense for medical marijuana patients in court, and he replied, "Yes, I support affirmative medical defenses. I do not support placing any penalties on marijuana, and thus this becomes a moot point. However, in speaking within the law, states that allow medical marijuana should not be able to pursue charges of any kind against medical marijuana users, regardless of whether the individual can produce state-issued identification cards or not. The right to treat oneself should never be infringed upon." And a lot of people might not currently understand, if you go to trial in Texas for possession of marijuana, you can't tell the jury that you consume it for medicinal purposes. You'll be held in contempt, it'll be thrown out, they'll be instructed not to accept it as evidence, and you could go to jail for even longer there. And this is in more places than just Texas. So it's really absurd that you can't tell a jury why you're using marijuana since you got caught with it. Moving on to releasing nonviolent marijuana offenders from prison, that's a big priority for Kevin as well. He said, "I have stated this position time and again and spoke extensively about it at Texas Normal. People should not be in cages for nonviolent drug offense, ever, period. Furthermore, all the people who have been convicted of nonviolent drug offenses should be immediately removed from prison, and I would further add that such people should be restituted by the state for unjust and inhumane imprisonment." He also supports the right of people to grow cannabis at home. He said that, "I support the right to grow marijuana at home for any purpose desired, be it medical or recreational. Much like my position on the legalization of marijuana, I do not believe that any restrictions should be placed on growing marijuana at home. That stated, I would be willing to accept the recent Colorado legislation as a step in the right direction." And that legislation sets a limit to the quantity of plants that can be grown at any one time. He's facing a 19-year incumbent who received 35,560 votes in the 2012 election. He's organizing everyone he can. He's reaching out to the Hispanic community, and he even has a billboard in Spanish. So he's got a good shot here, and we're hoping to see some good things from him. Even if he doesn't win, I hope he makes a huge splash. He ended by saying, "It's time we stop letting career politicians dictate the direction of individual freedom." And we definitely concur with that. All right, moving on to some more Houston news. We've got some really good news going on out there with the district attorney race. Now, this is based in Houston, but it's for the Harris County District Attorney's Office. And no matter who wins this November, there's a good chance that we're going to have a change in marijuana policy out there. Two of the candidates running are the incumbent Republican and then a Democrat who is facing off against her. They're both females. Kim Ogg held a press conference in July to outline her new GRACE program, which would put those caught with less than 4 ounces of cannabis through 2 days of community service rather than in jail. After completing that community service, the charge would be erased from their record. Repeat offenders would also be eligible for this program as well. So that's basically saying that if you get caught with less than 4 ounces, you don't go to jail, you spend 2 days serving your community, and then after that, there's no charge, there's no record, nothing. So it amounts to a form of decriminalization, and while she can't change the law, it's definitely a step in the right direction, and it's definitely within her prosecutorial discretion to do this. She would also make use of the Texas's cite and release law, which was passed back in 2007. That law, which few counties take advantage of, gives the arresting officer the discretion of writing a court summons to people who are caught with small amounts of marijuana instead of taking them to jail. So, coupled with getting rid of the charge after the fact, she would also save the officers some time and the county jail some resources by just giving them a court summons to show up to court instead of arresting them, taking them to jail, and stuff like that. So it's just a win-win situation for everyone here. And she figures that this is going to save the county about $10 million. And she said that our tagline is no jail, no bail, no permanent record if you earn it. Now, both Houston marijuana groups out there, Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition and Houston Normal, both came out in support of what she was doing. And she also got the support of three state senators as well for her plan. So it's really looking good for her. And the Republican at the time didn't have anything to say. She said, we're working on our own plan. And she recently released it this month, saying that she supports basically the same thing, but she has a few differences. The biggest is whether or not those caught would be taken to jail, and her plan would also be that the plan would not be available to repeat offenders. And this is Devin Anderson, the incumbent out there. And she was appointed by Rick Perry in 2013 after her husband died, and he was the district attorney out there. Under Anderson's plan, all offenders would be taken to jail where they would be booked into the system and then evaluated. If they're deemed a low-risk first-time offender, the person would be eligible for the program, which dismisses the case pending completion of the community service and possibly also classroom instruction. If the requirements are successfully completed, no conviction appears on the person's record. And she says that her plan is scheduled to go into effect at some point this fall. So, depending on who wins next year, or this year, and then takes office next year, we're likely going to see some changes in how, low-level marijuana cases are handled out there in Houston. And if you go with Ogg, you're going to go a little bit further than you would with Anderson, but either way, it looks very promising. Polls are showing consistently a majority for changing marijuana laws, both nationally and in Texas, and recent polls show legalization support in Texas at 58%. So, it's looking good, and we're looking forward to seeing how that race pans out. Now, we've got one more candidate for you before we go on to John Tunmire, who is the Senate 10 district candidate running up there in Tarrant County. We've got a candidate up there in the Panhandle running for Senate District 28. He's the Libertarian Party candidate, Kerry McKinnon, who is running for a special election, which will be held on September 9th. He's a Petersburg native, and he's already received a lot of coverage from the local news stations up there, and he's making a very big splash. Like, we didn't expect him to do this well, so it's looking very good for him. We contacted him and asked him about his stances on marijuana and hemp legalization, and he was pretty much a supporter. He's fully supports legalizing hemp for agricultural use and says it's a cash crop which is drought resistant with a wide range of uses. Hemp will add to the crops that farmers produce and add to our manufacturing goods. That means jobs for Texans, he said. Now, while McKinnon would support penalty reductions for marijuana possession, he would prefer to see the plant legalized both medically and recreationally, and he supports giving the patients the ability to use their consumption of marijuana as an affirmative defense in court, as we stated earlier. And he also wants to introduce bills to legalize medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, and industrial hemp in his first session if elected. So, if he wins, we've got another pro-cannabis candidate in the Texas House of Representatives. Texas Senate. So, it's really looking good this election season for us to get some pro-reform candidates in there. And we've got some more news concerning the politics of marijuana reform here in Texas coming up later on in the show that you definitely won't want to miss. All right, here's our interview with John Tunmire. I'm here with John Tunmire at the Texas Regional Normal Conference. He's running for Senate District 10 for Texas. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, actually, my name's John Tunmire. I'm a disabled vet with PTSD. And I started off after. Actually, I was in the military back in 1974 to 80. Mm-hmm. During that time, I was military police, and ran across a lot of people back in those days that wasn't smoking marijuana. They was actually smoking hash back then, mm-hmm. and seeing it wasn't harming them, nothing like that. And I just left them alone, let them do their thing. After that, got out of the Army. I become a software engineer. Mm-hmm. Could say I'm one big nerd. And all the way up till about 2008, I worked in software. Mm-hmm. After that, I actually become a real estate broker. Mm-hmm. And now I've been looking for cures for my PTSD all my life. Started doing my research and found out that that cannabis might be a possible cure. And started noticing more adults, more children, more senior citizens that were having problems that cannabis could be a solution for. Mm-hmm. I contacted a representative down in Wood County when I was down there and mentioned it to him, and he basically just laughed it off. So after I moved up here to Fort Worth, I decided it was time for me to run. Mm-hmm. I said I'll run, and I'll sit there and fight for it myself.
You're running as a Green Party candidate. Can you tell us a little bit about the Green Party? We don't see a whole lot of them here in Texas.
Well, you know, here the most interesting thing about me running on the Green Party was I started off wanting to run independent. The Libertarians, I never could get them on board, and they would never talk to me, so I never could run as Libertarian. Mm-hmm. So I checked into running as independent, and found out I would have to have almost 40,000 signatures within about 6 weeks to be able to get onto a ballot. And they had specifications like, none of the signature could have voted any primaries and things like that, so it would have been impossible to get. About a week later, when I was about ready to say the heck with it, the Green Party actually sent me an email asking would I be interested in being put on the ballot. I answered back to him, went and talked to him, found we had some issues altogether. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I'll definitely take it. And now I'm actually enjoying meeting the people in the Green Party. And one of your questions about the Green Party was, the Green Party actually started off more in the environmental movement. Mm-hmm. Their biggest concern right there is that all the pollution and everything else is being pumped into the air by the oil companies. They're against fracking because a lot of fracking is polluting the water. Mm-hmm. Of course, Texas won't admit that because it's making money off the deal. But that's one of their biggest issues right there. And They're also into legalizing marijuana also and legalizing hemp because they know it's a sustained agriculture. Mm-hmm. We're actually developing into something that can make billions for Texas and even more billions of revenue to take care of all the other problems.
Would you say that legalizing hemp and cannabis would tie into a greener planet?
Oh, most definitely. Matter of fact, the research I did on hemp alone was that it actually takes its weight of carbon monoxide out of the air and actually pumps it in and actually turns it into a fertilizer for the ground. Mm-hmm. So it would basically actually be getting rid of all our air pollution and everything else.
What sort of things would you do while in office to advance legalization or just cannabis legislation in general here in Texas?
Well, one thing, when I got in office right there, you figure the election would be November 4th. And the first legislators in the coming season is going to be January 13th. Mm-hmm. I'd spend that time actually going out and talking to all the reps, all the state senators and everything else that's actually in their offices. I travel all over Texas and trying to get them to support the cause. And as I get them to support and everything else, I get them to also co-sponsor the bill with me. Because mm-hmm. right now I'm looking at the bill that DFW Normal has actually put together, you know, for legalizing the hemp. They worked with a couple of attorneys, and they got an excellent bill for it.
Would you say that that medical marijuana is more easily achieved than full legalization here?
Yeah, I believe that medical marijuana would be a first step. Mm-hmm. We get medical marijuana legalized, and then once it shows everybody that it's a safe alternative right there, I'm sure that the rest of the legislators and the rest of the people will actually follow suit and say, well, it's a better deal than actually selling alcohol because alcohol causes violence. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that marijuana does is cause people to commit violence on bags of potato chips.
Are there any other major issues that you're tackling with your campaign?
Yeah, I'm actually for open carry. Mm-hmm. After being a military police, I know that open carry would actually be a safe alternative. If you're out there, say, you know, good honest people actually have their weapons strapped to their side. let's say they're all in a grocery store shopping. Some person decides they want to come in, rob the place. They look around, they see everybody's packing. Do you think they're going to still rob that place?
I don't believe they're going to even think about doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that cuts the crime down. That cuts police officers from having to go out there and respond to calls and get shot at. So I know the police should back something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we understand over in Arlington, a lot of police officers are sitting there backing it right now, telling a lot of the protesters that it's their First Amendment and Second Amendment rights.
So what are your thoughts on Corey Watkins?
Corey Watkins.
He's leading the open carry protest movement here in Texas.
Well, you know, he hasn't even contacted me yet. I've actually been contacted by other members.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Would you be interested in working with them to help spread your campaign?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, matter of fact, I've actually they're actually one of my groups on Facebook right there, and I've been posting a few items here and there, but I'd love to actually be able to meet with the open carry because I'm a concealed weapon carrier myself. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. If someone wanted to find out more about your campaign, how could they do that?
Well, they could actually go to my website. That would be just tunmeyer.info.
Mm-hmm.
And on that website, the first page right there is going to give a lot of my perspectives on on my thoughts and everything else, such as actually releasing all the prisoners that have nonviolent convictions on them, expunging their records after a certain amount of time. A bunch of videos that can actually educate people on the pluses on legalization.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you, and we hope to hear more from you in the future.
Well, I definitely hope so, too. Right. Yeah. Matter of fact, I hope you hear my voice all over, Austin.
All right, we're back with our segment of upcoming events in September. Coming up on September 3rd, we've got the Texas Normal Monthly Meeting held in Austin. On the 8th, there's going to be a marijuana investment conference in Houston. On the 10th, they're going to have another normal night at the House Sports Bar and Grill in Arlington, which is hosted by DFW Normal. They've been holding those pretty frequently there and recently had their monthly meeting there, which was yesterday. So I've heard really good things about their burgers there. We're definitely going to try to make it out to a DFW Normal meeting very soon, and I'd like to go check all that out. There's a North Houston Normal meeting coming up on the 13th, Northeast Texas Normal Stoner Movie Night in Nacogdoches on the 13th as well. Hub City Normal is having their open meeting in Lubbock on the 13th as well that day, and Texas Normal is having their strategy meeting in Austin on the 17th. And then on the 27th, Hub City Normal is having their annual fundraising and awareness event in Lubbock. And then rounding out the month is the Patient Alliance for Cannabis Therapeutics meeting in Austin, which is put on by Vincent Lopez. And much thanks to everyone who listened to our last episode and helped donate to him getting a new van. He did get a new van, so he is back on the road and able to attend events and whatnot. So we're happy to hear that. Now, if you know of a cannabis-related event going on around Texas, please let us know about it, and we can get it listed on this on our event page, which you can find on our website, and you can email that to us at texcan@gmail.com, or you can post it on our Facebook page or let us know on Twitter. Email is preferable, though, and we also produce a monthly event article that shows you all the events coming up for each particular month. So if you get that to us before the month starts, we can get you on that list as well. All right, moving on to our bus segment. There's been a lot of marijuana busts in Texas this year. And I'm not talking about going into people's houses and raiding them. We're talking fields of marijuana, like marijuana fields forever. We entitled an article that earlier this year, and that's before we really got into the big bust. So far in Texas this year, they've come across a field as large as 100,000 plants, and a lot of other busts have been between 5 and 20,000 plants, and I think we're nearing 250,000 total plants uprooted this year in Texas alone, and a lot of them have been grown by drug cartels. So it's really been crazy, and recently there was a raid out there at Sugar Land, which is just near Houston, and they found a 4-acre farm that had about 10,000 plants, and they estimated it around $10 million. Some of the plants were 14 feet tall, and of course, no one was arrested. Oftentimes, whenever they come across these fields, no one's there. They're usually discovered by hunters beforehand. Hunters report it. And a lot of people wonder, what are hunters doing out there this time of year? Well, they're getting their deer stands ready for deer season. You know, it's coming up real soon. And, of course, dove season starts tomorrow as well. They did find a cell phone at the field that had a selfie left behind on it of this guy laying in what appears to be a hammock of some sort. And they believe that he's a suspect, one of the growers of the marijuana field. So they're looking for a guy who is from Mexico, apparently. Now, we also had another raid earlier this month. The Texas Department of Public Safety raided a growing operation near Tyler, and they netted about 700 plants. Now, most of these busts have been for between 5 and 20,000 plants, some of them over 100,000. So this is a really small operation in the grand scheme of things. But that didn't stop them from loading up in full tactical gear with an armored personnel carrier, assault rifles, bulletproof vest, the whole nine yards. The war on drugs was in full fashion that day. And they surrounded the perimeter with armored cars and helicopters and called in all-terrain vehicles, had a whole slew of agencies out there just descending on this little 700-plant field where no one was there. And it really was just entirely overblown, but they were really just playing with their toys is what it amounted to. The DPS conducted the eradication in a joint effort with the Smith County Sheriff's Office, Tyler Police Department, U.S. Attorney's Eastern District, ICE, and the Smith County District Attorney's Office, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. A local resident remarked after the raid, "What a waste of taxpayer money. Let's see, it took six organizations using helicopters, armored vehicles, ATVs, and no telling how many just regular old squad cars and heavily armed officers to cut down some plants." And a lot of people wondered if they'd put the same effort into cleaning up the roadsides and getting rid of all the poison ivy where people regularly go out. So, some good points to be made there. All right. Our music segment is up next. Our music is by Gloat Entertainment this episode, and the name of the song is called Roll 'Em Up, and they're based out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Your sleeves and your blunts.
And your blunts.
Roll them up, roll them, roll them up. Roll them up, roll them, roll them up. Roll them up, roll them, roll them up. Your sleeves and your blunts.
And your blunts.
It's hard work, being blue collar. Two jobs and a dream, this is so Americana. Marijuana helps me to survive. Life provides the irony, cause in the end we die. So roll them up, light them up, and get to living. Show these schmucks, not a single fuck is given. My grinding overdrive still taking time to get high. Paid my dues and took my bruises, now I'm in my. Can I get a drum roll?
Huh?
A little bit of humble?
Yeah,
I took it and ran it. Put through your hands, not my fault, you fumble. I'm humble, but not numb too. These mumbling dumb dudes, so subtle, but fuck you. Please crumble and get through spotlight.
Roll them up, huh? Roll them, roll them up.
What?
Roll them up,
huh?
Roll them, roll them up.
What?
Roll them up,
roll them, roll them, roll them up.
What?
Your sleeves and your blunts.
And your blunts.
Roll them up, roll them, roll them up. Roll them up, roll them, roll them up. Roll them up, roll them, roll them up. Your sleeves and your blunts.
Okay, I'm clocking in to work another job. Chiefing like a native on my peace pipe nonstop. I can't relate to all you humans with your gravity. I got my head in the clouds cause my hustle's planetary. And so the story goes, I just continue wrecking flows. I'm second to no one, I thought I told y'all I'm who Texas chose. To lead the world up on a trip through the galaxy. Think a mile of my brain, spring nightmares to reality. calm the demons with some cannabis. And if the government can handle it, tell them all they can suck my dick. And tell the cops the same thing and do it quick. Snap a photo of it, ask the NSA for the pic.
Your sleeves and your blunts. Attention, I'm upset now. My whole demeanor changed. Roll one up and let's smoke till sundown. Roll up your sleeves and put that gun down. And get this old-fashioned ass whipping until I come down off my high horse. Roll one up, roll over, wake up. Roll out my carpet, gluts, cuidado. Hard work coming through. I've been running barefooted for many years. I should have coined yabba dabba doo. I'll give it a shot, a stab or two. I'm rolling balls, rolling blunts, and hit the lab for a few. Why not? Roll through the spot and scoop the crew. Roll out the tape. You're welcome, we made this just for you.
Roll them up, huh? Roll them, roll them up.
What?
Roll them up, roll them, roll them up.
What?
Roll them up, roll them, roll them up.
What?
Your sleeves and your blunts.
And your blunts.
All right, we're back. If you have a band or know of a band here in Texas that would like to get their song on the show, we'd be happy to listen to it and maybe consider putting it on the air. Please send us your information to our email at texcan@gmail.com. All right, moving on to our general news. Got some really messed up stuff here. Back in May, a SWAT team in Atlanta, Georgia was serving a no-knock warrant during the middle of the night for drugs. What ultimately happened was that no drugs were found, and a baby was severely burned by the flash grenade which was thrown into its crib. Now the county is refusing to accept responsibility for the actions of their sheriff's department and pay the child's medical bills. The child's mother told local news station that the police threw a stun grenade in her son's crib, causing severe burns, which landed the toddler in a medically induced coma at the hospital burn unit. They were staying at her sister-in-law's home, early in the morning, police raided the house. I think the kid was like 19 months old. He was in a burn unit for like 3 months in two different hospitals. And of course, the medical bills are hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the county is just refusing to pay for it. Now, after they raided the house, they didn't arrest anyone. They didn't find any drugs. Nothing. And they did this raid on a tip from an informant who said that they bought $50 worth of some undisclosed type of drugs from there and alleged that whoever sold him the drugs was heavily armed. And apparently whoever sold him the drugs wasn't even at the house whenever the warrant was served. So this is our drug war for you, and this is what happens. We've got SWAT teams barging into homes in the middle of the night, burning babies over nothing, what amounts to nothing, whenever we could have just had two detectives go up, knock on the door, and investigate things for themselves, or just have the local police force go in and see what's going on, do a little bit more detective work, find out what the real story is. And of course, there's really no reason to be putting guns in people's faces for possession of a drug. That's really what it amounts to. All right, moving on. Over two-thirds of doctors support medical marijuana. A recently released survey shows that not only do a strong majority of doctors support medical marijuana, but more of them than consumers themselves believe it should be legal. A survey was done last month of more than 1,500 doctors, and it found that 69% of doctors said medical marijuana can help with certain conditions and treatments. And among those doctors, 67% believe that medical marijuana should be legalized. Total support nationwide for legalization by doctors is 56%. That's 2 percentage points under the general population. And that's for outright legalization, not just medical. The recent CNN Org poll puts national support for medical marijuana legalization at 80%, with only 10% in opposition. Support for medical marijuana was highest among cancer specialists and blood disorder specialists. For those two groups, 82% said marijuana can provide real benefits to patients, and they support legalizing medical cannabis. Despite more than 20 years of anecdotal evidence about the medicinal effects of marijuana, doctors and consumers remain in search of answers, said Dr. Smith, WebMD's chief medical editor, who said that in a company news release, and they actually sponsored the poll. He said, "The findings of our consumer physician survey indicate the medical community's support for the use of marijuana as a treatment option, particularly among clinical specialties that have pioneered research. Yet these survey data suggest additional studies will inform decision makers' confidence in where medical marijuana can help and where it might not," he added. Concerning full legalization for recreational consumption, support from doctors registered at 53%. So we've got a majority of doctors on our side now as well. So it's coming. It's a matter of time. Really what it is most people support it, but they're not making it a priority at the polls, and we're having such low voter turnout at the polls that we're not putting pro-reform candidates in office, and then after the fact, we're not having people contact their representatives to tell them that they support medical marijuana. So that's adding up to us not having this problem taken care of just because we're not doing enough to make sure that it happens. All you got to do is simply go out and vote, and then contact your representatives and tell them that you support medical marijuana legalization and full legalization, and of course hemp legalization. All right, moving right along to actually that very subject, we spoke with Tristan Tucker, who is the deputy director of DFW Normal, and he said that Texas representatives have begun to open up about the idea of changing the state's marijuana laws. Tristan says that he alone has spoken with more than 15 state and federal representatives about marijuana and how legalizing this plant could benefit the health of Texans and the Texas economy. He said, "The more we're out in the open talking about this, and the closer we are to session, the more open the representatives are to talk. We currently have members going with board members and liaisons to meet with state representatives to tell their story 5 days a week." Tucker says he knows that at least a few hundred Texans have contacted their representatives. He said, "We have veterans, children, and parents going to speak with representatives because Normal is going to be pushing for medical marijuana legislation as our ultimate goal in 2015. We feel like it is not only practical to submit this legislation, but is also probable that it will pass. And a lot of people are expecting medical marijuana to pass in 2015, provided enough people contact their representatives." There's a lot going on here in Texas between the normal nonprofit organizations, and then the Marijuana Policy Project, and the Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition, and the Drug Policy Alliance. They've been constantly in contact with representatives, and they're receptive to changing the law, but they keep saying, well, we're not hearing from our constituents, so how do we know that they support legalizing marijuana or medical marijuana if we don't hear from them? So they're urging everyone to reach out and contact their representatives this January whenever they get back in session. And we've actually created a way for people to easily do that. If you go to the Texas Cannabis Report website under our information resources, you can find the ability. Actually, we have it under our political action tab now, and it says contact your representative. And from there, you can find out who represents you, and then you can proceed to contact them by email, phone, mail, Twitter, Facebook, the whole nine yards. Any way that you can contact them, it's there. It's straightforward, and it makes it real simple for you to do. And whenever the legislative session begins, we need everyone out there contacting their representatives, because that's what it's going to take to get these bills passed this next year. Tristan Tristan Tucker also said, "Our representatives aren't leaders. They're followers. That's why we elect them. It's important that people read this and talk to their representatives because they need to know what our desires are as far as public policy goes." And as of 1997, the state of Texas is no longer able to decriminalize drugs at a city level. It has to be a state-level mandate. He said, "Without us, they will continue to do the exact same thing. Not voting is refusing to have your voice heard. It's giving them consent to continue doing exactly what they've been doing." All right, moving on to our final news story. Texas has tied for third among states with the most marijuana consumers. According to a study done by the federal government, you may be surprised at how Texas ranks among other states when it comes to how many people consume cannabis on a monthly basis. In a survey where federal researchers asked people 12 years of age and older whether or not they consumed marijuana in the past month, and keep in mind, if the government asks you if you smoke marijuana, chances are you're not going to tell them, so this is likely underrepresented here, so likely their numbers are skewed on the lower end. There's likely a whole lot more than what they're saying here. But as a percentage, Rhode Island came out on the top with 13% of all respondents confirming that they had. And the primary age group was 18 to 25, with 30% of that group saying they had consumed within the past month. Now, only 1 million people live in Rhode Island, meaning roughly 130,000 people there are smoking on or consuming once a month. So it's easy for them to rank the highest in percentage. Now, Texas, they only had 5.11%. Now, that puts them near the bottom as in percentage-wise as 46th in the nation, just in front of Alabama, Louisiana, Utah, and Kansas. And, of course, the leading age group was 18 to 25-year-olds with 13.76%. However, Texas has a population of over 25 million people. So this works out to nearly 1.3 million people aged 12 and up who consume marijuana in Texas the past month. And that's for the people who actually told them the truth. So where does that rank Texas among total monthly consumers? Texas is virtually tied for third with Florida, right behind California, which boasts just over 3.4 million consumers, and New York with 1.6 million. So New York is easily attainable, but we've got a ways to go for California. Nationally, 7.13% answered yes, which accounts for almost 22.4 million people. So we're showing with this government survey that a minimum of 22.4 million people consume cannabis on a monthly basis. So that's quite a few people. And of course, virtually every poll shows majority support for marijuana legalization, mostly at 58%, both here in Texas and nationwide. So like we keep saying, it's just a matter of time. All right, that wraps up all of our news for today. Before we call it a day for the show, I'd like to do a quick tribute to Robin Williams. He recently died, committed suicide. We learned that he had Parkinson's disease, which depression was a symptom of that. And the great thing about Robin Williams is that he made a lot of people laugh. He was a great influence, a great comedian. Just, he touched a lot of people's lives. And he was a strong advocate for marijuana. He exposed the hypocrisies of the drug war and how having marijuana legal and having marijuana illegal and having alcohol legal is just pure hypocrisy. So Robin Williams, you are definitely going to be missed, and we hope that those who are close to Robin are really going to be comforted during this time of pain, and we're really going to miss him. All right, that's it for Texas Cannabis Report. I'm your host, Stephen Carter. Y'all take it easy. If I say I'm
for us. They fuck with us and beg for trust. This wonderlust was built for us. I mean, all of us. Raise your head and raise your fist. Put down your fucking Twitter pics. Use your mind, corrupt your tits, and throw a brick the establishment. Yeah. Follow me, let's make a change. I ain't trying to box it out there. I'm trying to box with your brain. When your honor is deceitful, when the music stops, all we've got is a voice at the top of your lungs. Make them feel the noise, open your eyes to the lies brought to you by the government. Political puppets got a corporate hand in your ass, and you're loving it.
If I said, I told you.